Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close.
How's it going?
Good morning to you, Talissa.
Good morning, Rach. It's 16:14 here.
Again with the military time.
I'm actually going to speak about some military people today, so maybe I'm just getting in the zone.
Yeah.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been busy. I'm actually working later today. I'm working on a documentary about flat earthers, so that's gonna be
interesting. What is it, like your documentary or like a job?
No, yeah, it's just a one day thing.
Oh my god, what a gift.
I will report back.
I think I've watched one documentary about it and I'm just like, I don't understand like your end game with flat earthing.
It's kind of true. It's like, where are you going with this?
Yeah, like why do you want to die on this hill?
Yeah. Do you want to change the school curriculum? Like, is that what you want? What?
And
I guess I'll find out today.
Yeah, I mean, is it about you think that we're being lied to on a greater scale? And to what end would that be?
I think that is it.
I mean, you genuinely believe you can fucking sail off the edge of the earth. Are you stupid? Sometimes I think people believe stuff like that and say stuff like that just to be a kook.
Mm.
Just so they can go,
just to be different?
Actually, I'm better than you because I know the truth.
Not to change the subject, but I just saw this meme the other day and it was like words that each star sign says, like a Taurus says this and a Virgo says this. Like,
go on.
Just one word.
What was yours?
Mine was honestly. And Virgos is actually. I think Capricorn was like, I. And Pisces was sorry.
Pisces is definitely sorry. 100%. Yeah. Fucking act first, apologize later. It's like the Pisces fucking mantra. Yeah, I am a bit of a fucking know-it-all. That happened. I put it up this week on the thing that somebody on a I follow this Instagram and it's called Future of Sex. I don't even know why I follow it. I think I was just again trying to be kooky, and it says on it, it said something about like, do you like biting or something? And I was like, I don't want to go out with, I was like, I don't want to go out with Ted Bundy. And then this woman went, I thought it was a bloke, so I nearly went to town, but it's actually a woman. And then this woman was like, don't you mean Jeffrey Dahmer? And I was like, like crack my knuckles. Like,
well,
actually, please don't try and out serial killer me.
You have to say what you said because some people don't have Instagram that listen to us.
Oh, okay. I said, I wasn't like a dick. I said like,
no.
I said Ted Bundy did bite his victims.
Yeah.
The bite mark evidence is what got him convicted after he killed the sorority girls in Florida.
Right.
Which is now like defunct science. They don't count bite marks
anymore.
Yeah,
you can't use that
anymore. No. But for him, it was just like anything. Because you clearly did it. Like, you clearly did it all.
Isn't there a picture of him, of Ted Bundy too, where because he was representing himself,
mm-hmm.
he's just standing in front of a picture of a bite mark, like looking at it intently. And I hate that picture so much because you know he's just reliving what he did.
Yeah, and he did like really fucking gross stuff, didn't he? Like, I think the judge had to stop him because he was saying, he was interviewing one of the fucking sorority girls that he bashed their head in with like a fucking piece of wood or whatever. And then he's going to them, okay, what did you see when you looked over at your friend? Like, and did she have loads of blood on her face? And like, he's just basically trying to make her relive it and he's reliving it. And then the judge is like, I think we get the point.
Like,
basically,
we don't need to continue why, this yeah. gratuitous.
And he's just like getting so a chubby over it, which is just really fucking annoying.
Right. Anyways, we sure did jump around there just now.
Yeah, well, that's the very nature of this thing, isn't it?
But I wanted to talk about the theme for today, which isn't, we don't really have a theme. It's just a true crime chat, so we're going to be jumping around a lot.
Yeah, but I think we decided that the hook to hang it on was interrogations, right?
Yes.
So it's going to be loosely based around interrogations, but we can't promise we'll stay there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, there is some true crime news. And
yes, there is.
But it's going to be old news because we're recording this like a week early. So
it's going to be old.
It is. We're recording this on September 18th, and our episode isn't coming out till September 27th, I think.
But let it be known that we did find out about this. We do have our finger on the pulse.
Yes. We're not just a week like, oh, man. So do you want to talk about the biggest news today that just happened yesterday?
Yeah. So do you know what? I was just about to say Fred Durst. As in the guy from fucking Limp Bizkit. No.
I would not be surprised.
No, me neither. Robert Durst, as in the fucking creepy old guy from The Jinx, has been charged with the murder of Susan Berman, who was his best friend. And basically, the guy who made The Jinx discovered the evidence that got him convicted, right? Which is incredible. If you haven't seen The Jinx, like, skip ahead because this is spoiler country. So what happened? And if you don't care, then I'm just going to tell you what happens.
Yeah.
I also, like, bored Tom with this morning as well. And I really felt his attention drifting. So basically, the police, after they discovered Susan Berman's body in her home in Beverly Hills, they had a letter sent to them that said there is a cadaver in Beverly Hills with Beverly spelt wrong. And then they found out that Robert Durst was giving Susan Berman money to pay her rent and also giving her son money. So they said to her son, have you got any correspondence from Robert Durst? And he said, yeah. And they looked at it and Beverly Hills was spelt, it's just a fucking identical envelope, basically. Right. It's his handwriting.
Same handwriting. Same misspelling. Spelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they presented that to him in an interview room, like the documentary makers, because he goes off the grid a bit and they have to like chase him down, don't they? He like
isn't
avoids
that the
them.
Point where he went and dressed up as a woman and he was just paying rent in cash and
killed another person
in this house like a duplex. Killed another person.
Just whatever he wants to do. Anyway, so they basically managed to organize a meeting with him and confronted him with these letters. He goes into the bathroom and doesn't realize that he's still got his microphone on. And he's like burping and like heaving. And he says to himself, and it honestly makes my fucking skin crawl every time I hear it. He goes, "What did you do? You killed them all, of course." In the bathroom, and apparently that was played at the trial.
Yeah,
because I had a quick little read up about it. But
I really wish I could see his face when they played that.
I think he's just staring into the mirror.
Expressive, he doesn't have an expressive face.
Oh, his face, honestly,
which is also terrifying. Like, imagine him attacking you and just having no expression on his face.
Oh god, it's like the Halloween mask.
Yeah,
he just looks like he looks like Voldemort.
He does, with like lots of wrinkles and no chapstick.
Yeah. Like, motherfucker needs to moisturize. he looks dry and evil.
He really does. Like, with all that money, you'd think maybe go to the spa every once in a while, but no.
Not his priority. His priority is fucking defending himself from murdering everyone that ever met him. He like reminds me, like, if Mr. Burns was like a person, it'd be Robert Durst.
Yes.
And then there's that bit of The Simpsons where they say he's like a buck-tooth old mummy with bony girl arms and he smells like an elephant's butt. Like, that's my description of Robert Durst.
That's a perfect description. That's so good.
Oh, also, we have a new Patreon. Laura.
Hi.
Yeah, so hi, Laura, thank you so much for being a Patreon, and we'll get your sticker to you shortly. And we love you, and thank you.
Thank you so much for listening and for supporting us. And I'm going to put more Patreon content up there, because Talissa's done a really good job of putting some content up, and I have to do it too, so...
Well, that was only because I was on furlough, so I had all the merry time in the world. Yeah. Like now I find it hard to even fucking post on Instagram, because like my job is mental, and yeah, anyway, no one wants to hear us whinge.
Right.
So
yeah, both of us. But we'll provide some new Patreon content soon for
our Patreon
listeners, who are amazing and patient, and we love them.
I do.
And show us your stickers. I want to see your stickers that we've sent out.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Most people put them on their laptops, I think. That's where I've put mine.
Yeah, or their water bottles.
Yeah, and my True Crime Bullshit Patreon sticker is on there.
Oh, nice.
Honestly, I was so excited when I received that, and a handwritten note from Josh Hallmark. I nearly wet my knickers. Like, it's so exciting. So I imagine that's how people feel when they get
best
ours,
friends.
Or at least I hope so. I know he's my friend deep down. Like, I know he sometimes thinks of me, surely. Why wouldn't he?
He does.
Of course. Yeah, so if you want to get into this week's...
Well, there was a little bit
of... Oh, no, other true crime news, right? Yeah, yeah. So...
Yeah.
Oh, right. Isn't it the... Are you talking about the Gabby case?
Yes. So this is very brand new. Her name is Gabby Petito,
mm-hmm.
and she is 22, and she went on a road trip. She started like a YouTube with her fiance.
Oh, is that a fiance? I thought it was just her boyfriend.
No, fiance.
He's called Brian something.
Brian Laundrie.
That's a shit name.
I know, yeah.
And my dad's called Brian.
All I thought was like a pile of dirty laundry, and I was like, I could guess myself.
He is a pile of fucking dirty laundry. Like, he is guilty as fucking OJ. He's guilty as fuck.
It's so sketchy. Okay, so, but the story is they started a YouTube called like Van Life, and they were going to go on a road trip, and they had converted this van into like a little living space, and mm-hmm. really, I mean.
It's cute.
I know.
And she's cute.
Yeah, it's really cute. Great idea.
But, right, I've watched some of the footage from her YouTube, and to me, like, I put this comment on, I think it was the Crime Junkie book club, which is basically, like, it's just, it used to be a book club, but now it's just turned into a, like, general true crime forum.
Chat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in there, somebody put up about the case, and I watched a bit of the footage of her YouTube, and I was like, this really stinks of, like, Chris Watts and Shanann Watts. Like, she is so into the filming part, and he is so not. You can tell she's like, hey, come here. And like, he doesn't really speak on it. She speaks, and there's just loads of footage of her, like, I don't know, like, you can tell that she, like, probably edits it and stuff. And it just kind of, it just really reminded me of Chris and Shanann Watts, where I think that he probably was like, I don't want to fucking do this. And like, they argued about it. Because there's also...
Well, there's... Yeah, sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you say, because I think we're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, so she went missing, but right before she went missing, there's police body cam footage of somebody called the police because they saw this couple, Brian and Gabby, arguing, and it sounded like it got physical, which is why someone probably called the police.
Yeah.
So the police turned up. She's really upset. She's crying. They kind of split them up and talk to them separately.
Mm-hmm.
And they both tell the police that they had this argument and it got a little bit physical. And she's just crying the whole time. She's really upset and he's really angry. So the police end up telling them to like split up for the day. Neither of them wanted to like press charges because they told the police that they are engaged and they're going to get married and they love each other a lot. So she went off with the car, with the van, and he went to a hotel. And then after that, nobody knows what happens.
Oh, I didn't know that bit. I haven't watched the body cam footage. I've only seen like stills from it. And you know what?
Yeah.
I feel like when this comes out next week, we'll fucking know what happened.
That's how I feel. To say, like, this is a week. This just happened this week, which was like September, I don't know, 16th or whatever. She was reported missing on September 11th. Mm. And the worst part of all of this is that, so they're on this road trip. I can't remember what state they were in. They weren't in their home state.
Is it not like Yellowstone National Park?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So they're on this road trip, which is very far away from Florida where they're from.
Oh, that's where they're from.
Yeah, he gets back to Florida.
How? Does he drive? Does he fucking fly? That's not quick.
Yeah, he drove back with the van, I think.
Dude, that takes forever.
Yeah.
What was that, like 5 days? Yeah. What was that, like 5 or 6 days of like constant driving?
It would probably be about...
It's the opposite side of the country. And they say like that she sent texts, but that her mum doesn't believe that it was her that was sending the text. So that he potentially had her phone and was like pretending she was still with him on the drive back.
I did not know that part.
Yep. So yeah, her mum got... She was like, well, he came back without her. But I thought they were on their way back anyway because she texted me. But in hindsight, I don't think that was her texting me.
So it's about a 30-hour drive from Yellowstone to Florida, wherever they live in Florida.
Okay, so let's say minimum 3 or 4 days.
If you're driving 10 hours a day, which...
Is a lot.
Yeah, that's about 3 days.
Yeah.
So she could be anywhere.
Yeah, like if I didn't think
of
that.
Happened and they both decide, okay, let's drive back home. And then something happened on their way back home. Then something could have happened. Then something could have happened in Yellowstone. Apparently some of her family members went to Yellowstone to they're there now to search for her.
Oh, well,
but in that route, like from Yellowstone to Florida, that's 30 hours.
Shit. And
millions of places that she could be.
Also, weren't there 2 other people found dead within like the vicinity of where he was?
Oh, so where they were in Yellowstone is called like... It's known, I think, because of hiking and stuff like that, to have like lots of deaths because it's dangerous or you can get lost.
Why
really
do
easily.
You people still go to these places? They should be closed. You should have to go in an airtight bubble that you just walk around in. Like, so nothing. So even if you fall off a cliff, you're fine. No fucking cougar can bite your face off. Like, I fucking... National parks, what are you doing?
Talissa, we went to a national park. We went to the Grand Canyon. There's tons of deaths there every year. So it's...
Yeah, but we weren't like fucking hike. We were staying like on the edge with like the people who were taking photos. In fact, do you know what though? We did like walk down a bit, didn't we? That was it did feel a bit dangerous. And I saw a tarantula, which I wasn't that into.
Oh yeah. So that was like, hilarious because there was like people surrounding the tarantula just like staring at it, and it's like, guys, the Grand Canyon's right there.
Yeah, well, I've been looking at that for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, back to Gabby. She went missing. The worst part of this is that he drove home in the van, got to his parents' house, immediately they lawyered up. He hasn't spoken to the police at all. He refuses to speak to the police. And in my eyes, no matter what happened, if she ran away, if she hurt herself of her own accord, or she just decided to leave him forever, you would tell the police because you care about her safety. You would tell the police everything.
On what planet? Oh, also, do you know now he's gone missing? He went on a hike and didn't come back.
What?
He's gone on the lam.
Just like today?
Yeah. Gabby Petito's family attorney says fiancé Brian Laundrie is not missing. He is hiding.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
the case.
He's
gone on the fucking lam.
Oh my gosh. How guilty do you want to look? Say you're guilty without saying you're guilty.
Lawyer up. Don't talk. Run away.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Dude. But his family as well. He went straight to his parents and
pieces of shit, man. Like,
I was reading this, so I was on Reddit and I was reading about it, and there's some footage of just a bunch of people. One guy with like, what are those things called that make your voice loud?
A megaphone,
like a blowhorn kind of thing. Megaphone. Yeah.
An ass trumpet.
Yes. It's early in the morning. I couldn't think of the word. There's just people surrounding the laundry house and they're all yelling, "Where's Gabby? Where's Gabby?" Oh,
yeah, I saw that. And don't they have like, they have like signs and stuff. They're basically picketing his house.
Yes.
Which is the least he deserves.
I'm just happy that somebody's doing that. Like, it's so,
what a
for
selfish
Gabby's family. It's like,
asshole.
Yes. But the family too. And so I was reading on Reddit and one person commented and they're like, "I have a son and I love him to death, but if he came home and said that something bad happened, I would turn him in immediately. I would not lawyer up. I would tell him to tell the truth. Like, that's what you would do. And instead his family are like, "No, don't say anything. Here's our lawyer's information. Don't talk to the police."
Like, what? Do you think you're going to get away with it by doing that? They're just going to double down. Even if he said, "Oh, you know, she fell off a cliff, or it was an accident," or whatever. Like,
right.
Or even made up a story. Like, no one else was there. I guess like, people don't want to talk to the police because once you say something to the police, it gives them something to disprove. So that's why they say don't talk to the police, because they're like, okay, well, you've said this has happened, and so I can present you with this evidence on the contrary. And that's how you build a case. It's proving someone's lying. If they don't say anything, then you've got nothing to look into. So I get his stance of like, don't talk to the police, but also like,
he hasn't even talked to the family.
It's ridiculous.
Like, her family. And they've been begging his family to get him to talk. Like, both families have been talking to each other and he won't even talk to them about it. It's like, okay, if you're not going to talk to the police, at least talk to her family and tell them everything you know about her. Like, don't talk to the cops if you don't like cops, if you're worried about that part. Talk to the family.
What if he's gone off and like killed himself? That's got to be a risk, right?
Say you're guilty without saying you're guilty.
Also, write a note. If you're going to kill yourself, write a note and tell them what happened, because you're going to kill yourself anyway.
But it sounds like his family are very involved, so they probably are keeping a very close eye on him, I would assume.
But like, it's fucking hard to disappear these days. And he must have, like, unless you've got your phone turned off, which I doubt he has. He's like a 20-something-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He's going to be, unless he knows, unless he got a burner phone. Like, there's so much CCTV, there's so much technology that can place you somewhere. He can't be in hiding for long.
No. And
that's not going to last.
The country knows who you are.
Exactly. You're not like fucking, what's his name? Who was a Unabomber?
Ted Krasinski.
Yeah, you're not Ted Krasinski. You can't like live off the grid. Right. You could barely live out of a van.
Exactly. So yeah, that's what's going on this week.
Oh my god, it's going to be so weird, like, hearing this when you know what's happened.
You're right. Like, in the next week, before this episode comes out, something's going to happen and we're going to find out more.
Like, people are so up this story's ass that I know that 4 hours ago he went missing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you do.
And I'm in England.
You know that because I was asleep.
You was asleep. Yeah. So. It's like, don't worry, I've got it covered for 12 hours and then I go to sleep and then you've got it covered for the next 12 hours.
Yes.
So together we are on this story's ass, like, as much as the news outlets are. And like, even like the BBC is publishing this. It's like worldwide news.
It's big news. I think it's also sad because obviously it's like, she's a white woman, she's pretty, she's blonde, it's
YouTuber.
Big news, she went missing. Like, talking about like what I mentioned 2 weeks ago about missing and murdered Indigenous women, it's like, this happens all the time for them.
Yeah.
And people, nobody, there's no give. National news, there's BBC isn't reporting on it. So
absolutely not. No.
It's just classic, I don't know.
I just swear to God, like, even if she was brunette, she'd get less coverage. If she was like 3 stone heavier and brunette, people would give like 30% less of a shit.
Yeah.
She's or skinny any other color. And blonde and young and white.
And it's very pretty. You're right. I didn't even think about the Chris Watts thing. It's like she filmed it, like that you could go on YouTube and watch their videos.
Both their Instagrams are not private, which is fucking mental. Like, why did he not
You'd
put his
think
Instagram
that
to
he
private?
Would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but there's a post that they believe he put up after she disappeared that is like, I can't remember what the picture is, but the caption is like, why does everybody like have to film everything? Like, the world around us is so beautiful and all what? This stuff. To me, that kind of felt like a defense. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It felt like he was like,
I don't want to film anymore.
Yeah.
This is the reason why I'm disappearing.
He's preempting and giving himself an excuse as to why like he hates people that film everything and technology is like turned us all into robots or whatever fucking shit he wants to spout because he killed his girlfriend and doesn't want to admit to it. But like, yeah, it's just a really like pathetically transparent attempt at defending you've done something to your girlfriend who films stuff.
Yes, yes.
You can find his Instagram post online like very easily. And also, you're 22.
He's 23.
You're like, yeah, you're 23. Stop banging on about how like, oh, technology is like ruined it. Dude, I grew up without the internet. Google wasn't invented until I was like 9. So if anyone needs to complain about the world being ruined by technology, it's me. And
it's
I'm not
us.
Because it hasn't. It's been made better because we get to catch murderers like you.
Yes.
20 times easier.
Exactly.
You fool.
The last thing that I want to say about this is because we're talking about their age, this is just like classic, you're in a relationship when you're 22, your early 20s, and you think that this is how it has to be.
You think it's forever.
Like, I'm talking from, you think it's forever, you think that you have to deal with it when it's this hard.
You can't
when
just
really
fuck off.
you can. I'm telling
you. You could end that shit with a phone call.
You can. There's so much more lovely people out there that will treat you better.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. Like,
good.
There's
good for you.
You don't have to deal with it when you're 21, 22. Like,
you never have to deal with it. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Like, ever.
Yes.
That's the beauty of being like a woman in this time.
Yeah, this isn't 1882 where you're stuck on a farm and you have five
and you can't
kids
buy
already.
A house on your own because you're legally not allowed to. Like, you're not allowed to open a bank account without your fucking dad there.
Right.
Yeah, you could do whatever you want. Don't be like tied down to some fucking gooch who's like who's like telling you like, I don't want to film this stuff with you anymore. Fine, fuck off.
Like, yeah. I'll have fun on my own.
Yeah, I'll do my own road trip with blackjack and hookers.
Right. Yeah. When you're young and you think that you have to deal with that kind of thing, and then it ends up turning out in the worst way possible. Like, that's kind of what happens sometimes.
The thing is, I think I probably don't want to watch that dash cam footage because I've been in arguments with boyfriends where it's like turned physical, like not badly, but like, you know, you're just like,
yeah,
and you're just hysterical. But you're also
but
like,
you still
don't leave
them.
Me, I love you.
Yes.
Like that, all like all of that. I've done that, and like
So have I.
I'm gonna
I
see
like
that girl
so
and be like,
has been
"Oh
there.
God, it's me."
Yeah, and that's why I want to say that. It's like, I think they said that when they're talking to police, all they did was like it wasn't that physical. Like, he like grabbed her face or something like that.
Yeah, or like you grab an arm and be like, don't like walk away from me when I'm talking to you, or like something like that. Or it's not like you're not like beating each other up, but like.
Right. Which I think that's what it was. But still, it's like, I can't imagine somebody doing that to me now. If I was like,
oh my God.
If that were me now, I'd knock them out.
I know. I would just fucking headbutt them and then go, right, we won't be talking ever again. I'll see you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
you can take
sir.
Your van. Yeah. Anyways, that is that.
Yeah.
True crime news. Keep an eye on it. If nothing, I really hope something's happened in the time that we have talked about it in this next week.
Oh, mate, people are on it. People are on it. I think it'll be like a don't fuck with cat things where someone will just find him. Like, you know, it'll
turn
be like,
turn him in, Florida.
Oh, fucking Florida will find him. No problem. Yeah. Crazy down there. Speaking of crazy, so right, I've gone down an Israel Keys hole again. Like,
oh, you did? Because of interrogations.
I've re-listened to like all of true crime bullshit again, and
wow,
all of it. Because right, you used to be able to get all of his interviews on YouTube, 46 hours worth. The full confession of what he did to the couriers, the full confession of what he did to Samantha Koenig. You used to be able to get it all. Yeah. It's now there's only 6 hours on there, and that's all you can get.
No way.
They've taken it down. Yeah. So I had to, because I was thinking, right, I'm going to re-listen to like all the interviews, like beginning to end. But I couldn't. So I had to listen to True Crime Bullshit again, because he's got them all. And, I was just listening to the people that interrogated him, and I kind of did like a compare and contrast kind of to like one, there's like a really famous interrogator who's got like 3 or 4 people to confess. And I was going to like compare that him to how shit they are with Israel Keys.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the Israel Keys interviews?
Yes, I have. I mean, and obviously I've listened to True Crime Bullshit, and you can hear it the whole time, just how there's something that always sticks in my mind is when Paul Holes, I was listening to Murder Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to always mention Paul Holes. I just think he's
great.
Don't
be sorry.
But
do not be sorry about mentioning lovely Paul Holes.
But he says, and I think I've mentioned this on a past episode, he's commenting on Israel Keys and the interrogation techniques of the detectives. And he's like, I don't know why they were like this. I don't know why they were so... There was a specific point where they were trying to make a deal with him, or they were trying to coax him into saying something. And Paul Holes was like, at that point, I would have been like, all right, I'm closing the book. I'm going to head out. Like, we're done talking. But instead... they are like, oh, but, you know, still joking with him and still trying to get him to say something. And I just liked his take on it, where he was like, at some point you have to be an asshole a little bit to show him that you're in power still. Like, he's still stuck in a cell.
They're scared of him. Like, they seem so scared
that.
Of him. Also, there is no need. There is like 3 or 4 people in there. Why the fuck do you need 4 people in the room? It blows my mind. And also, there's like one of them that constantly interrupts him. For example, there's one bit I picked out where, so he's a suspect in the murder of a guy called James Lamar Tidwell. And he went missing on the 15th of February, 2012. So Josh Hallmark has kind of highlighted the fact that Samantha Koenig was taken on like the 1st of February or the 2nd of February and killed. And then he went on holiday for 2 weeks, and then he came back off a cruise to Texas, and he sees his mum. And in that time when he's in Texas, James Lamar Tidwell goes missing. And then basically everyone was like, oh, Israel Keys doesn't have a pattern, but he does. He will go off the grid, and then he will take someone, murder them in a different state, even if it's just across a border. Then he will burn the house down that he did it in, because he used to do it in abandoned houses. Or he'll just burn a house down like for a laugh, because he like likes arson. And then he'll rob a bank the next day, because his theory was like, I need to be amped up to rob a bank. So after he's murdered someone, then he'll rob a bank. So when James Lamar Tidwell went missing, the next day he robs a bank in Texas, and he's wearing like hair under a construction helmet. And James Lamar Tidwell wore a construction helmet to work. And he's wearing a jacket in the bank robbery that looks like James Lamar Tidwell's jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got hair taped to the inside of the construction helmet.
Yeah.
And in the interview, it's fucking grim. Like, in the interview, they say to him, "Where did you get hair from?" And he just starts laughing. And
he
he's like,
chuckles. It's so disgusting.
They are so disturbing to listen to, those interviews. And like, he says, "What was it? Costume hair?" And he's like, "Oh no, it was real hair."
No.
And he's like, "Where do you get real hair from?" And he just like laughs.
Right.
They just don't fucking press him on it. Like,
right.
They don't even ask. They don't even ask anything else. They're just like, okay.
Gloss over it.
They gloss over
so
much stuff.
Annoying.
Yeah, he just throws out like clangers of clues.
Yeah,
and they just ignore him and move on. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, coming from their place, this is what I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I'm sure it was a very stressful job. But they're probably taking all this down. And they know that they have all this time to talk to him about it. So they're going to come back later and be like, "Hey, so remember when you mentioned that hair? Let's talk about that."
Yeah,
and
they do revisit stuff. Like,
right. So definitely. It's like, maybe sometimes in their technique, they're just trying to get like the full story. And then later on, they're planning on coming back to focus more on like, oh, the hair, or where'd you get that hat, or what's the jacket from, or, you know, stuff like that. But it is so frustrating to listen to, where you're just like, what was in their minds? What were they like, alarm bells were ringing, but I need to shut them up right now? Like, what were they thinking?
It's like they were scared to ask him stuff in case he just went, "No, I don't want to talk about it. I want to go back to my cell."
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a lawyer with him at all. Ever.
Right.
Basically, they couldn't discuss the Samantha Koenig case with him because he had a lawyer for that case. And the lawyer said, I'm telling you, don't talk about that case. And he's like, okay. So they're like, you can talk to the FBI about other stuff, but not about that. So I think there's a lawyer with him when he confesses what happened with Samantha Koenig, but there's no lawyer with him for the rest of it, basically.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he wanted a lawyer, right?
No, I don't. Well, I think he was offered one, but he would like fall out with them and say, like, classic serial killer, like, I don't want you, and, you know, this is, I'm cleverer than you.
Trying to be in control of it.
Yeah. Also, like, the FBI never reached out to local Texas law enforcement, even though fucking Josh Hallmark could Google who went missing in Texas between these dates.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the FBI do that?
And his family lived there.
It's crazy.
That would be one of the first places that they go to just to talk to his family.
Yeah. And like another thing one thing that really annoys me about those interviews is there's one guy, I don't know who he is because it's hard to tell between their voices, but he puts words in his mouth. When he murders James Lamar Tidwell, which I think he did, he talks about a house in Aliito, Texas, and he says, I found an empty house and then I burnt it down. And he's like, oh, so what were you doing in the house then? Were you just killing time? And he's like, yeah, I was just killing time. Don't give him something to say. Like, what were you doing
in that house?
End of question.
Yeah. Like,
don't give him something to use as a innocent excuse as to why you were there. Like,
right.
What
were you doing in the house?
Annoying.
Making a sandwich? Yeah, I was making a sandwich.
Exactly. Shut up. And also, like, Israel Keyes, like, I don't know how the fuck he got away with stuff with his family and with his girlfriends and his friends, because when he's not a good liar.
No.
He slips up all the time. When they ask him about something that he's clearly done, he laughs like a kid. Like,
he laughs.
Yeah. When they ask him a direct question, when he's guilty of something, he's like, so did anything happen in Texas? He's like, ah.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly. And then he stutters and he can't get out the words quick enough. Like, when he's telling the truth and when he's not telling the truth are so easy to discern that like a child could tell. when he's hiding something.
Yeah, but I'm going to give his girlfriend and his family the benefit of the doubt, because if I was talking to my family, I would have a completely different demeanor than if I was talking to the cops. Like,
yeah, also, like, you lie to your family all the time. So
yeah.
You're well practiced in that.
Since the age of one, you learn how to talk to your family to get them yeah. off your backs.
Yeah, and also he like got caught. He got caught cheating on his first girlfriend Tammy. He got caught like using sex workers with Kimberly. Kimberly knew that he cheated on her, and she knew that he used sex workers sometimes. And she would break up with him and get back together, and break up and get back together. Like, they'd be on a break.
Yeah.
So he wasn't good at like hiding a lot of stuff. When he does the bank robberies after the murders, he wears things that he took from the victim he's just killed. There's another victim of his potentially called Marble Arvidsson. And he like wore a Trilby hat. And then like the bank robbery after he went missing, Israel Keys is wearing a Trilby.
Mm.
And it's just like, what the fuck are you doing? Get a hat from anywhere. Again,
this is what I said in another episode about Israel Keys wearing disguises. I don't know how to, he's like a normal looking guy. So anything that he puts on his face or his head that doesn't suit him is, you can see it straight away. He looks like a 1930s villain in a 1930s movie, like with like a huge fake mustache and a really bad wig that's too long and also doesn't like, fit him right.
The things that are most noticeable about him are that he's 6'2". And he's got like quite a big nose, and he doesn't hide either of those things by putting a fucking pube mustache on or whatever.
Like, yeah.
So
like he's, if anything, he's pointing himself out more by putting a hard hat on in a bank. Any construction worker is going to take his hard hat off before he enters a bank.
I know. It's fucking, it's almost like he wanted, like, it's almost like he got something out of wearing their clothes to do it.
Oh, 100%. Because sure,
you could have put tights over your face. You could have done anything to disguise yourself. You didn't have to. Well, when I say tights, I mean stockings. You don't have to wear that stuff,
right?
So I think he was like
getting to wear a hard hat.
He was getting something out of wearing his victim's clothing, like definitely, which is
definitely
also like bone chilling.
Yeah. So creepy. I hope that someday his girlfriend and his child does come out and say something.
Yeah.
I really don't know why they aren't.
I understand why his child isn't, because she's like 17, 18. But Kimberly, like, is being a bit of a knob, because...
Yeah. She won't talk at all.
She won't talk at all to the FBI. And, like, she probably thinks they're going to arrest her or say that she was guilty because she facilitated him by like letting him use her air miles, and he googled things on her computer, and he raped and killed Samantha Koenig on her house. That was her house, and he just lived in it with her.
Kept Samantha Koenig's body in the shed.
Yeah. So I think she thinks, fuck, I'm gonna be in trouble, maybe.
Right.
And also maybe she's just one of those people that like sticks her head in the sand. Which some people just do.
Yeah.
Like good old Brian Laundrie. Not good decision making.
No. Well, let's talk about a more successful interrogation, because I have one
that
wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about one of my favorite interrogations because it's successful. You can watch it on YouTube and you can see the point where he knows he's caught.
Maybe. Maybe we have done the same one. Maybe we've picked out the same one.
Oh, shit.
That's okay.
Because you mentioned military.
Go on. Do it. Do it. Who is it?
Is it Russell Williams?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Did we pick the same one?
Yeah. But that's okay, because probably both got like stuff to say on it. And
yeah,
it is fucking amazing, though, isn't it, to watch?
Oh, my gosh.
That guy.
It's so good.
Jim Smith, he's called, and he's like,
yes,
famous man.
Detective Sergeant Jim Smith with a
Y. Absolute hero. Jim Smythe.
That reminds me of I had, when I lived in Ireland, I had a friend, because there's a lot of Smiths with a Y in Ireland. I don't know why. Yeah. And my friend, she would always say, Smith and Smythe is the same as shit and shite. I can't say it in an Irish accent, but that's what she'd always say. Yeah. Anyways, Detective Sergeant Jim Smith, Smythe.
Shite.
Shit and shite. Anyways, so I'm just going to tell people a little bit about this. Colonel Russell Williams, he was a decorated military. He flew the plane for the Queen. He's Canadian. He was in the Canadian military.
He's born in England, though.
He was, yes. Yeah. And he, but his alternative life, he had a wife. He had, I think he had kids. I can't remember. Did he have kids?
I don't think he did. Not that I could see.
He for sure had a wife.
Yeah, definitely had a wife.
And so very well to do, but his secret life was that he would break into women's homes and sexually assault them and murder them. And he would take pictures of himself in their underwear, and he would take trophies, and some of the women he knew.
Yeah.
If not all of them.
Mm-hmm,
like some of them were town, also right? in the military. Yeah.
Like, the town was being like terrorized basically by this mystery man who was breaking in and stealing underwear, and it quickly escalated from like stealing underwear to sexual assault to rape to murder. Yes. Yeah.
So obviously the cops were looking for him, and they brought him in and interrogated him over 18 hours. So the one on YouTube is only 2 hours long, 2.5 hours long.
It's the good bits.
It's the highlights. It's the good bits. Yes. But in actuality, they interviewed him for 18 hours and they broke him down. Detective Smith broke him down, laid it all out, and caught
he's
him.
He's so cool. The way he
The thing that
us.
I like about... Yeah, the thing that I like about... this interrogation, though, is that Russell Williams comes into the interrogation and he's all confident, just macho. He's a big guy, too. And he...
Yeah. He looks ridiculous in the underwear photos. Like,
oh, my gosh, he does.
He looks ridiculous. So he chooses the most feminine underwear as well. Yeah. Like, little pink frilly, like, it's just with a big so hairy creepy. Chest.
None of it fits him.
No.
But he comes in, and people before, they described him as like an arrogant guy. Like, he had a really great job. He was just very authoritative.
Really?
And so he comes in that interrogation room with that kind of like, everyone knows about me. Everyone knows I'm this powerful pilot who has a, people have to listen to me in the military. Mm-hmm. So he comes in with that arrogance into the interrogation room, and that's what I like about the detective, is he kind of plays into that, like, I'm gonna be this soft-spoken man who is a little, maybe he comes across as a little bit intimidated by Russell Williams, and instead I'm gonna lay out all the facts and I'm gonna trap you into telling me what actually happened.
I just love the way they're like, a good interrogator will be like, oh, so make it sound like an innocent question. So like, oh, so what car have you got? And have you had that car long? And okay, so we found tire tracks and it's your car. Do you know what I mean? They go like, start off like really gentle. Yes. And then they just like go, you've just told me that you have had this car for this long. Yeah. There is no denying that it is your car. We've just spoken about that. We found tire tracks.
You also just lied to my face by telling me that you weren't driving in this area at this time.
They're like,
and
they're like, okay, Russell, we know that you were, because we have this footage, and like, we have a bit of paper. Like, I just love it.
Yes.
It's not angry, and it's not, it's just so controlled. It's really like a chess game. Like, they just step one, like, little tiny step, 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 step. Yeah. So they have no choice but to agree.
Yep.
because there's no like so only good. An insane person could deny it at that point.
Right. And you could see it in his face. He's like, oh shit, there's nothing he can say or do right now that's gonna trick him. So
yeah, I'm interested, like, because you always do the details like better than me. I'm like, something listen, something happened and this, and it was in Texas.
Here's what I remember.
Yeah, and you've like actually written it fucking down like a professional.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'll just read what I wrote. Mm-hmm. So in the 2.5 hour interrogation video, it's on YouTube. Please go watch it.
It's brilliant.
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, he comes in and he's arrogant. He's confident. He's lying. He's lying.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah. Doesn't he deny just knowing
like
her?
Like any question.
Like.
Yes.
He has known her, right?
One of the women... he was a pilot and she was, she worked on one of the planes with him, mm-hmm. like on a flight or maybe a couple of flights.
Yeah.
And he was interested in her when she was alive. Like, I think they talked to each other. I think they had some kind of correspondence.
Yeah.
And he lied about all of that where he was just like, oh yeah, she was on one of my flights and I guess I kind of remember her.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, no, we have the evidence. You guys emailed each other.
Yeah.
Or you guys... we're seen talking to each other. Mm-hmm. So clearly you're lying.
You're trying to downplay.
That was the first part.
Your relationship.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So the video starts with him saying, I've never been interviewed like this. And he's like smiling and he's looking around the room and.
What? Like he's a fucking Disneyland. Like woo. Like.
But he says it more of like,
well, like, I'm such a good guy kind of thing. I've never been in a like, police.
I'm so high up in the military that nobody's ever talked to me like this.
Yeah.
He says it in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. And then he looks around and he looks at the camera that's in the room. Mm-hmm. And the detective is like, have you ever like been filmed in an interview or something? Or have you ever like been filmed? And he says like, no. I was interviewed by the NIS for top secret clearance.
Oh, shut the
which
fuck
is like
relevant.
Yeah, right. It's like you're trying to establish dominance over the detective. Like, well, yeah, I've been in a position much higher.
I've got
than
the codes
you.
To the nukes. Yeah, you also put on frilly little underwear and stand in front of the mirror and take photos of yourself that you stole off like a fucking 15-year-old girl in the neighborhood. You pervert.
Yes. Dude, you've been in front of a camera before.
Yeah.
A million times.
Yeah, with like your ball bag hanging out of a tiny thong.
Yeah. Oh, just gives me the creeps.
It's so horrible.
But yeah, so by the end of the video, the police managed to break him down and he's emotionless and it, like, you can't see this because obviously it's a podcast, but he's not. His face is emotionless and he's got his arms crossed mm-hmm. like really tight to his body.
Yeah.
Which is if you read body language at all, crossing your arms means like you're not letting anyone in. Mm-hmm. You're not being open to the situation.
Defensive.
If you're being interrogated and you're innocent, you're a lot more like
animated, right?
Expressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, no, I was, you know, using your hand. Like, I wasn't there.
Like,
I was over here.
Open
you
hands
know?
In front of them. Like, I've got nothing to hide. Look at
yes.
my openness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas he's exactly the opposite. And he's just tight to his chest, like arms crossed. And he's just lying and he's forgetting things a lot. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I went to dinner with my wife on this night, but it might have been the next night.
Mm-hmm.
When clearly the detectives are like, no, we know where you were
yeah.
that night.
Like, this is what I don't get about criminal. Well, I suppose like they're narcissists and they believe they're cleverer than the police and that
yeah.
they know they can weasel out of it or whatever. But like the police would not be asking you that question if they didn't truly know the answer already.
Right.
Yeah. They're not they're not asking you to get the answer. They're asking you to check if you lie. They know. Why would they know like oh, so you went out to dinner with your wife? They're not asking like, did you go out to dinner with your wife? They're asking you went out.
What'd you have?
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah. Should I pop it on TripAdvisor?
How was the food?
Like, what are you? Yeah. They're asking you because they want to know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
And you are fucking stupid if you don't already know that. Like, it's just, it blows my mind. Or they're like, oh, you know, have you guys ever talked over like email or text? They're asking you that because they've got your emails and they've got your texts.
Right.
Like, and they know yeah. you're going to lie.
How much did you talk? Oh, we didn't talk at all. Well, actually,
I know exactly how much you talked.
150 texts.
I'm not yeah. asking you, expecting you to tell me the truth. I already right. know. It's mad. They have been through your shit like a raccoon through garbage. Like, they have got everything mm-hmm. on you. Otherwise, you would not yeah. be in that position.
Yeah.
They're not going to call you again. In if they don't know anything to ask you.
Right. Which is clearly, again, back to Gabby Petito, this is why they lawyered up.
Yeah.
Because, look, they have evidence on YouTube. They have evidence
well,
in the car.
The body
probably.
Cam evidence is very damning. That obviously shows yeah. that there was trouble in paradise.
Right.
Yeah.
But, okay, so back to
Russell.
Detective Sergeant Jim Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he catches him out. I should have taken down the time in the YouTube video when this happened.
I'm sure someone will have like popped it in the comments, like, or you could just
oh yeah,
Google it
for sure.
Like, yeah,
yeah. He catches him with a witness statement saying that he saw Colonel Williams in a place at a time when he literally just lied
yep.
about being there, mm-hmm. and two, the car tires that matches his SUV, which I think also his car is like. At the time, it was a car that was kind of rare.
Yeah, like no one else had it in the town kind
of
thing.
Yeah, like a big SUV, also kind of flashy.
Obviously.
The tires were very specific.
Yeah.
So only a few people in that town had that car with those specific tires.
Yeah, and like one of them would have been a woman that you could just counsel her out.
Yeah. Yes.
One's like an old grandpa or whatever.
An old grandpa with a farm just using it every once in a while.
Yeah, or Pervy McWaggonickers. It's like, who do you think did it?
Driving around everywhere. Everyone knows he has this car.
Those two people, or the person who has photographs of them in tiny bras in his house.
Yeah. And who knows one of the victims.
Yeah, and is a big, strong man.
Yeah. That's what's also scary about it. He's just this big, arrogant man.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you said no to him in a normal setting, it would still be terrifying. Like, if you were on a date with a man like this,
yeah.
like, it would still be terrifying to say no with people around because he's such a big, arrogant, I don't want to say powerful, but powerful guy.
Well, like physically powerful. Kinda... Yeah, he's like an army guy. Like he's yeah. like training all the time, and like
right.
he is pretty yeah. stacked. Like in the interview, he does
yeah.
have like defined
yeah.
arms, big chest. He looks strong.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. So the detective just lays it out on the table. He shows him the pictures of the tires. He shows him pictures of his shoes that he would like the footprints.
Oh, you're an idiot.
And fingerprints.
You're a fucking idiot. Yeah. They could have solved that crime in the 50s. It's not even like
yes.
they use like supersonic DNA. It's fucking tire tracks
no.
and shoe marks and fingerprints.
There was no technology involved other than taking pictures of yourself.
Jesus Christ, you could have like solved it with like My First Murder pack that you get in like the fucking toy shop. Take some plaster casts of these tires and work out from who these people you think did it. Like, what an idiot.
Yeah, so that eventually breaks him down and he confesses to his whereabouts and he goes on to, in this, you can see it, he goes on to describe like how he broke into the house, how he murdered his victims, and he talks about her last words and
mm-hmm.
just completely broke him down, like applause for Detective Sergeant Jim Smith.
Yeah, he's fucking
such a good job.
Badass. He's the Canadian Paul Holtz.
He is. I hope he got early retirement. I hope he got a bunch of awards for this.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like police interrogation awards, but there should be.
If there is,
and
he's
he
getting
should
one.
Win all of them.
He's getting it.
Yeah.
Do you have on your notes the other cases that he's been involved in? That interrogator?
Like the names of the victims? Or, oh, did the Detective Sergeant
Jim Smith.
Jim Smith.
These were my notes on it. So as a result of that, the evidence showed he'd broken into 82 houses to steal underwear of females, including children.
So many.
This behavior.
I have time.
I know. He must have done it every night. Yeah. Pretty much. This behavior later escalated to sexual assaults and later to rapes and murders. He was charged with 2 counts of first degree murder, 2 counts of forcible confinement. So, like, did he put her in his car and take her somewhere else? Like, I think.
Yeah, I think he did. I think for one of them, he kind of kidnapped them and told them, like, oh, you're going to be fine. Just come with me.
Which is common, isn't it?
Like, killing them.
Yeah. Loads of people do that. Israel Keyes did that as well. This is relaxed. This is just a kidnapping, like, to try and get people to just comply.
I hate that.
It's fucking gross. And then 2 counts of breaking and entering and sexual assault. Another 82 charges related to breaking and entering were later added. So he's serving 2 life sentences for first degree murder, 2 10-year sentences for sexual assaults, 2 10-year sentences for forcible confinement, and 82 1-year sentences for breaking and entering. So he's like,
wow,
82 years, but they're all separate. Fucking nuts.
Yes. You, sir, may fuck off.
Yep. The note I had on Jim Smith was that he later also, because I recognized him, I was like, I know that guy. Oh. Like, because there was a case, right, where there was a couple, a man and a woman, and there was a little girl that was kidnapped, and she went missing, and the woman, there was CCTV of a woman leading her away from school. So they were like, what the fuck? Okay. Anyway, it turned out that she was with a guy who said, I need you to go and kidnap a child for me. So she did it.
What?
She's called Terry Lynn McClintick is her name.
Okay.
And the little girl is called, her second name is Stafford, but I can't find her first name. But anyway, there's a guy, Michael Rafferty. That's the man that said, can you get a child for me?
Okay.
And so Detective Sergeant Jim Smith questions Terry Lynn McClintick, and he gets her to confess everything. He does the same job on her. So,
oh my gosh, I wonder if this was like the next day. Like,
I don't know, man.
Just interrogated.
No biggie. No. So this was in 2009, and when was the when did David Russell Williams?
I think 2014. I think.
Yeah. So this was before. This was before he even did the Russell Williams one. But yeah. So he said to her, I look at this as like taking off a band-aid. You can do it quickly and get it done, right? Or you can keep pulling at it a little bit at a time, and that's what hurts. That's what you're going through right now. Let's just tear that band-aid off and just tell me what you saw. That's what got her to say what happened. Fucking cray. But anyway.
Can he start a podcast?
I know! Like,
get him on a podcast.
Yeah, so there's a YouTube channel I'd highly recommend called Jim Can't Swim.
Yes.
And he looks at interrogations really deeply, and he details all the different methods and what they're called. Like, they've all got names apparently and stuff. So yeah, I'd really recommend that. But yeah, that's all I had. But great interrogation talk.
That's an amazing end.
I know, right?
I can't believe we picked the same thing.
I know.
But that's cool.
Yeah, he's like, he's the Canada's Paul Holes. He's a superstar.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to have like pictures of him like up in our houses, like a little shrine, like him, Paul Holes.
Framed photo.
Michelle McNamara.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Heroes of true crime. That was fun. Well, let's see what happens with Gabby, and hopefully they find out where she is.
Again, thank you to our Patreon listeners. Show us your stickers. Yeah, send us pictures so we can post them on Instagram.
I'd love that.
Let us know where they are in the world.
Good idea. Okay then, Rach, I will speak to you next time.
All right.
Love you. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.